Good morning, Your Honor. Denise Murchison on behalf of the plaintiff appellant, Major Charles Carlos Middleton, Sr. Today I'm here on behalf of the plaintiff appellant, Major Middleton, to ask the court to reverse the district court's decision that concluded that Major Middleton's USERRA claim was barred by Section 1658A, which has a four-year statute of limitations.
Is there any indication in the record why there was the delay between the application, I think, in 93 or 4 or whenever it was, and the time the lawsuit was filed?
Your Honor, there should be some indication in the record that Major Middleton did complain to the city of Chicago.
In the interim?
Yes. And because there's a 180 days bar with the commission, they did not take up his claim. So he did attempt to complain. And, of course, this isn't in the record, but my client, the plaintiff, continued to read about the abuses of the city of Chicago personnel department that made the Shockman monitor necessary, the U.S. attorney's investigations.
But it seems to me the legal question, there, in a sense, there are two legal questions in this case. One of them is the applicability of 28 U.S.C. Section 1658A to USERRA. And I think the timing suggests rather strongly, in light of the Jones against Donnelly case, that the 1658A four-year statute does apply here. It's passed in 91. USERRA comes in 94, and it's a similar situation to the one the Supreme Court looks at in Donnelly. And then the second question is, whatever 1658A may say, is there a reason to believe that Congress wanted Section 4327B to operate retroactively? Because, of course, going forward, people in your client's position would simply need to respond to an argument of latches, as I understand the law. But looking backward, it may be that his case came up during a time that the residual four-year statute of limitations for federal claims was in place.
Okay. Your Honor, I have three points that is necessary for us to make today. First, that USERRA never had a time limitation. There was actually no statute of limitations.
And why can you say that in light of the fact that 1658A was supposed to be a general federal statute of limitations for all federal claims that didn't otherwise specify? The language in USERRA talked about no state statute of limitations.
The second point, which I would like to get to, is that under Section 1658A, and I'd like to quote that for so that we can review this together. It states, except as otherwise provided by law, a civil action arising under an act of Congress enacted after the date of the enactment of this section may not be commenced later than 4 years after the cause of action accrues. Well, Your Honor, this case falls squarely within the exception.
Why is that? Why, when the language didn't change until 2008, would a prohibition against borrowing a state statute of limitations be an otherwise provided for a federal statute?
First, we have the legislative history that shows us that the VRRA had absolutely no statute of limitations.
Right, but that's why this is a little bit like Donnelly. Also changes an existing statute in a way that expands remedies.
Your Honor, this is not a new cause of action. In fact, what USERRA did was to codify prevailing case law. It also clarified the rights and obligations of the employees and the employers. So this is different than the case in Donnelly. This is not a new cause of action. And in my brief, I do go through extensively what the legislative history is. But that's the number one point. This is not a new cause of action. Also, in Donnelly, well, it says it in the Department of Labor's preamble, which Congress gave the Department of Labor the power to promulgate the regulations. It says in the preamble that Jones is not dispositive of USERRA, of the four-year statute of limitations, because Section 1658A in 1990 was designed to stop states from borrowing
statutes of limitations. Well, that's right. We had a lot of borrowed state statutes of limitations. I understand that VRRA was passed against the backdrop of that, but USERRA doesn't come along until later. It's after 1658.
Yes, but that's a carryover. In fact, what we have is section chapter 43 replaces the VRA language that says there's that state statutes are not to be borrowed. And I think what's important for us to understand is that it was retitled as promulgated USERRA to strengthen the VRA. So getting back to your point, section 1658A doesn't apply here because the Congress had already anticipated that state statutes might be used and misapplied. A second point that I would like
now,
to
now, I think this gets into your argument that the 2008 amendment in the Veterans Benefits Improvement Act was clarifying rather than changing. But I guess the problem I have with that is if a person is inclined to look at language of statutes as opposed to legislative history, it's hard to get there. I mean, you can see Congress. In fact, they've even rejected certain bills that would have taken the position that you're arguing and adopted it in a much more straightforward way. So what do you say to those language of the statute people?
Your Honor, I think it's very important here to not just dismiss what's in the legislative history. These senators and congressmen were elected by us to pass our laws.
Yeah, but if you know about the decree, I mean, legislative history is notoriously unreliable, and certainly some justices on the Supreme Court tell us that we shouldn't resort to a legislative history. Some say not at all, and some say if the language of the statute seems to be clear on its face, then you can't contradict it by legislative history.
But there is no contradiction here. The legislative history that I've cited to in my brief and in my reply brief consistently states that there is to be no statute of limitations. And if we review the purpose of USERRA, is to make sure that our service people are not disadvantaged when they leave their civilian jobs and really put down their lives for military service. They're not to be discriminated against in terms of when they return to this country, in terms of being re-employed. So in order to realize the purpose of this statute, which is clearly stated, there has to be no statute of limitations. I cede my time, and I'll reserve further argument for my rebuttal.
Thank you.
May it please the Court? By its terms, Section 1658A, the catch-all federal statute of limitations, applies here in this case to the USERRA statute. The catch-all statute of limitations applies to any federal cause of action, a federal statute that is enacted after December 1st, 1990. USERRA was enacted in October of 1994. Therefore, as the district court recognized here, it plainly applies, and the four-year statute of limitations, therefore, is the statute of limitations that Mr. Middleton was required to comply with. The record, such as it is, this is a pleadings case, and the complaint shows that Mr. Middleton filed his claim more than 12 years after it accrued. Therefore, it was more than 8 years, excuse me, 8 years too late, and it is barred by the statute of limitations.
You know, I'm interested in the argument, though, that the new statute, the VBIA, Veterans Benefit Improvement Act, should be applied retroactively. Now, the Landgraf case sets out the rules for retroactivity, but it certainly seems that Congress strongly feels that the way to solve this set of cases isn't through something as rigid as a statute of limitations. I don't see them excluding a latches concept, but I suppose if we thought that were the way to go, we would have to remand to the district court to decide in the first instance whether this claim in the light of equitable considerations could go forward or whether it should not, but it doesn't seem to me something we can decide on a basis of law. But why shouldn't we take this language, no state statute of limitations, that's now amended to be no statute of limitations, and apply it to this pending case?
I think that under Landsgraf and its progeny and the various courts of appeals and other federal courts has made clear that retroactive effect will not be found unless the language of the statute requires that it be found retroactive.
But here, sometimes things are applied retroactively. So, for example, when the period of time for filing an EEOC complaint was expanded from 90 days after the Discriminatory Act to 180 days, you know, putting to one side states like Illinois, the court applied that retroactively in the Robbins case for somebody who had applied like on day 120, and so it would have been too late for the 90-day period, but it was within the 180-day period. Why isn't this similar?
Well, I'm not certain exactly what that statute read. If there was any sort of, I'm assuming from the gist of the question that there was not an explicit indication that it would apply retroactively.
That's right.
However, in this case, you have a situation where were the VBIA to be applied retroactively, it would amount to reviving moribund causes of action, to use the Supreme Court's terminology. You have some claims, including Mr. Middleton's, that had already expired under the four-year statute of limitations, that in order to get to the second argument, retroactivity, you need to find that it does apply.
But my example is that kind of case. I mean, as you know, probably under Title VII, there's an administrative process one has to go through before you can actually go over to court. So you have to file charges with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And the statute before 1972 gave you 90 days to do that. So the person in this case that reached the Supreme Court, the Robbins case, didn't file within 90 days. The person, so by your terminology, that person had a moribund complaint. The person did file, as my recollection is, around day 120. The amended statute gave 180 days to file. So the question before the court is a filing on day 120 after the claim was too late under the 90-day period, but before the claim, but the claim would have been in time, 180 days. And the court says, yes, it's in time. It's a remedial statute. It's designed to address discrimination. It seems to me there are some analogies perhaps to be drawn here.
It sounds like perhaps there could be. That case was not briefed in this case. I'm not exactly familiar with it's the way it construed the statutes involved there. What we rely on here is the general principle, which in Hughes Aircraft, the mm-hmm. Supreme Court announced that you can't apply retroactively a statute that would reinvigorate a moribund cause of action. That may be a specific instance where the court found that it was the case. But in this case, there's no reason to find similarly, because I think the general principle here, in a case that was filed 8 years too late, there's no specific reason to allow even the policy of construing USERRA broadly to overcome the principle, which is very important, because in light of what Landgraf looks at, it says, is there an indication that there should be retroactive application.
So that's where you rely on this language and the new one, a person who seeks to file a complaint, not the bill that you put on page 19 that didn't pass.
Yes, right. That's still in committee as far as we know as of yesterday.
Well, isn't the effort, though, I mean, Congress is pretty inept in many of these things, and this looks like one of them, where they would say, we don't want a statute of limitations in this area, but we never get it right. We're trying to make it clear now we don't want a statute of limitations.
That's exactly what happened. And what you have is you have two sets of positive law, the one going forward from October 2008, which says no statute of limitations, and the one going forward from October 1994 saying no state statutes of limitations, despite the fact that they were legislating in the context of Section 1658A, which they have to be charged with knowledge of.
It was meant to be retroactive?
No, it doesn't, because there's no specific indication in the past bill, the VBIA, as opposed to the bill that we cited, which, by way of comparison, which is in committee now, which explicitly said included an application section that said, listen, this is retroactive. Congress knows how to say retroactive when they mean be retroactive. And that's why the first question under Landgraf is, did they say that it...
I wouldn't go so far as they know it, but that's...
They're charged with the understanding and the expectation that they will.
Presume that they know. Yes.
Yes, there's a presumption that they know that in order to make something retroactive, it needs to be clearly stated.
Well, and I take it you wouldn't be. I mean, if this bill that you've put here were... It's within Congress's power to enact this bill if it wants to, your only argument is it hasn't done so yet.
That's precisely our argument. It hasn't done so yet, and instead it has enacted the VBIA, which language is not to overly rely on the fact that that there is a prospective language of a person who seeks to file. But that is really the most you can glean from the language that was actually enacted, and our position is that that cuts towards a finding of prospective as opposed to retroactive application. But at the very least, you cannot interpret that to specifically, and as the language requires, the language of the cases require, the language requires the result that it applies retroactively, and that's the report from Bowen.
Murchison's alternative argument, which is that the USERRA itself really doesn't create any new cause of action and isn't under 1658A at all. It's just a continuation of the earlier, the VRRA.
I think, Judge Wood, as you recognized before, this is in some ways very similar to Jones, in that you're talking about a change that increases the rights for plaintiffs. It's not a perfect fit. It's an imperfect template for analyzing, I think, Jones, because in Jones you had Section 1981, which had existed since the 1860s, and in 1991, certain rights were added by statute to that.
Right. Significant rights were added, in fact, by statute in the wake of the Supreme Court's decision. So I'm just wondering if the change from VRRA to USERRA can be compared in importance with the kinds of changes we saw in Jones for 1981.
Yes, it absolutely can. Although the VRRA, the transition from the VRRA to USERRA is not exactly like the transition from pre-1991 Section 1981 to post-1991 Section 1981, there is a close comparison in terms of the addition of rights. What happened when USERRA was enacted is that USERRA replaced VRRA with a completely, fundamentally different cause of action. Probably the most notable aspect of it is the fact that under the VRRA, a plaintiff was required to show that the adverse employment decision was made on the basis of their military service. It was sort of the cause. Under USERRA, the plaintiff need only show that the military service was a factor. And also, as the district court recognized in this court, there is a difference in terms of the remedies that are available, in terms of a very fundamental right, which is the right to a jury trial, which corresponds with the availability of liquidated damages. So we're talking about two fundamentally different causes of action here, and therefore to say that USERRA is merely a continuation of VRRA for the purposes of 1658 analysis under Jones overstates their case and is incorrect as a matter of law. Therefore, we ask that you affirm the decision of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Norberg. Time just, Ms. Versus. You have 2 minutes for your rebuttal, Ms. Versus.
There's been some discussion today about what Congress intended and their capacity to implement our will. In page 13 of the reply brief, we take note of the fact that the Department of Labor that is charged with implementing and giving us the rules for USERRA gave Congress a report in February of 2008 advising them that there was a problem among the courts, which is why we are here today, about 1658A. As a result of that report, Congress implemented Section 4327A, which is the veteran VBIA, and it states, and this is on page 14 of the reply brief, finally, the legislative history of the VBIA states that the purpose of the amendment was to clarify that the original intent of Congress was that USERRA would not be subject to a federal or state statute of limitations, and that's in Senate Report Number 110449. I would just like to address for a moment further discussion on 1658A. The city has talked about our request for liquidated damages and a jury trial. None of this appears in the complaint. None of that appears in the complaint. So the plaintiff appellant today is asking you to reverse the decision of the district court and find that Section 1658A does not apply to USERRA. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Virgil. Thanks to both counsel for a well-argued case. The case is taken under advisement.